B-Pod Studios.
And Cesar Hernandez. You have a guy in Cesar Hernandez, like a 270 to 300 hitter, basically, as your eight-hole hitter.
Yeah, well, he's either a one or an eight, and you got a pretty good lineup if he's going to be an eight.
Yeah, it's pretty stacked, to say absolutely. And talking about the best catcher in baseball and the other names you could compare him to, they got themselves an absolute deal with a guy like JT Realmuto for the cost of prospects. I know a lot of people bat an eye at that. They wanted to see what Jorge Alfaro would develop into. This is at best what Jorge Alfaro could have developed into in a couple of years, being that he's 2 years older than him. But JT Realmuto will be 28 years old when the season starts. It's a great, great acquisition by the Phillies, and people, I think, aren't as excited as they should be yet because we're a little distracted right now with the stupid money comment. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But right now, I got to tell you, you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hour was brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. On the line with us right now from NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com and the My Teams app, Mr. Corey Simon. Corey, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Doing good, man. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
That's Mr. Farzetta.
Sorry, I apologize. Mr. Farzetta.
There you go.
He told me that's what they call his father.
Right. No. Corey, we were talking about this last night, but there was just so much good vibes from JT Realmuto. The fact that you get a guy who, like I said, is going to be 28 when the season starts, one of the best catchers in baseball, probably the best catcher in baseball. You talked about him as a five-tool player. How are those five tools sharpened with a guy like this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily say it in the way that people would like refer to Willie Mays,
right,
as a five-tool player.
Yeah, but he's not stealing bases.
But he has that capability. You know, he has the capability to steal you like 12 bases in a season, if need be.
Uh-huh.
But from home to first, he's the fastest catcher in baseball, the fastest everyday catcher in baseball. Behind plate, his pop time, you know, getting up to throw a runner out at second, it's among the fastest in baseball. He can hit for average. He can hit for power. And I think that he's going to hit for more power, much more power in Philadelphia than he did in Miami. I don't think there's really much of a question about that. So, yeah, among catchers, JT Realmuto is really the only one that you can say possesses all five tools. It's why he's regarded so highly. It's why the asking price for him was so high. And it's just, in my opinion, it's a very good move for the Phillies. You go from a catcher who you're batting at the bottom of your lineup to a catcher you're batting at the top of your lineup. You increase the upside of this year's team and potentially beyond. You know, the asking price that the Marlins had, it kind of hurts, but it's the price of doing business.
When you look at what they gave up, was it more than you thought they would have to give up for JT Realmuto, or are you more relieved that they didn't have to include a Moniak or a Hazley?
It was not more than I thought. I mean, I thought all along it was going to take Sixto Sanchez and Jorge Alfaro. It was just a matter of who that third piece was going to be. There were some rumblings on Wednesday morning that potentially the third piece might end up being one of the other Phillies' top prospects, or at least that's who the Marlins were seeking. Now, at that price, that might be a bit too much. If you're giving up like an Adam Hazley or an Alec Baum, this year's first-round pick, in addition to Sixto and Alfaro, that might have been an asking price that was a little too rich for the Phillies' liking, and that turned out to be the case. But from the get-go, you knew that the Marlins wanted at least one top prospect, and Sixto Sanchez was the Phillies' top prospect, and he now becomes the Marlins' top prospect. But the Phillies might also kind of be looking at this as they're selling Sixto Sanchez high. 20 years old, he's a guy who's been highly touted for several years now. Some scouts really love him. There are people that think he's going to be a top of the rotation starter. There are some people who think he might be destined to be a late inning reliever. But coming off of a 2018 season in which he was hurt for most of it and then couldn't pitch in the Arizona Fall League because of a setback, if this guy had another injury in 2019, Sixto Sanchez, his value is a lot lower than it would have been yesterday. And you're probably not going to be able to use him as a centerpiece of a trade to get a player as good as JT Realmuto. So the timing just seemed to all align for the Phillies, who have sped this thing up and are clearly in win-now mode.
Corey, I'm going to give you three names, and I need you to give me the percentage of chances that they will be here at some point before or maybe early in spring training. And I'll start with Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper, I would say 45% would be my take.
Ooh. All right, Manny Machado.
Machado, I'd be closer to like 70%. But, I mean, the caveat there is that if Machado signs first elsewhere, if he goes and signs with the White Sox, that 45% I said about Harper would increase substantially.
Right.
I still believe they're going to get one of those guys. It just depends on who signs first and, you know, who makes their decision first.
Increase from 45 to 100?
Yeah, close to 100. Yeah.
I will take it.
All right, and the last one is Dallas Keuchel.
Keuchel, I just don't see happening. I would say 20%. I think that the team's going to end up having to overpay him, even though he's lingered to this point. He's kind of in decline, allowed the most hits in all of baseball last season. To me, he's kind of just a left-handed version of Jake Arrieta. I don't know if you can be successful having two of those guys in your rotation who don't miss bats, who rely on ground balls. They'd probably be more successful here than Arrieta was last year just because the infield defense is so much better. But I just don't love the idea of a team paying both Arrieta and Keuchel, you know, upwards of $18, $20 million at this point in their careers.
Speaking with Corey Seidman of NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com and the My Teams app as well. Also catch them pre and post on Phillies games this upcoming season. The Phillies have moved the needle substantially from last year, Corey. I mean, that goes without saying. But you just don't feel that buzz quite yet in the city with the acquisitions they've made, all because of the stupid money comment by John Middleton. So from your opinion, if they end up not getting Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, maybe adding, let's just say, a legit starting pitcher to go in this rotation, whether that be a number two or even a number four or a number three, how much has this Phillies team gotten better from when they walked off the field as an 80 and 82 win team?
They've gotten a lot better. I mean, this, as of right now, looks like more of like an 85 win team. Last year, they won 80 games. They kind of lucked their way to 80 wins. Probably should have been a few less. But, you know, it's fully understandable to me that a large portion of the fan base would be upset if this offseason ended without a Harper or Machado, because those are the two names people have been clamoring about for years. With that said, the Phillies have made a lot of improvements elsewhere. The bullpen's better with David Robertson. The outfield defense is so much better with Andrew McCutchen replacing Rhys Hoskins. You improve up the middle with catcher and shortstop, the two most important positions on a baseball field with Real Muto and Gene Segura. So Matt Klentak has gotten a lot accomplished. It's just that this biggest move, which I think a lot of people expected to be toward the beginning of the offseason, it might all occur in reverse order, you know, and at this point, with everything else that the Phillies have added, if they do add Machado or Harper to everything else they've done, I would think that makes them the favorite in the NL East. I would push them ahead of the Nationals just in terms of their total talent. And we were just talking about starting pitchers. Also, I wouldn't dismiss the possibility that if the Phillies are 2 months into the season and they're playing well and one or two of their starting pitchers are underperforming, I would fully expect them to make a trade for a guy who, you know, might have a half season of control left before becoming a free agent. One name to keep in mind there, Madison Bumgarner, a guy whose contract expires after the year. The Giants probably aren't going to be super competitive. That's just one of several names to keep in mind.
Speaking of Corey Simon, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com and the My Teams app, what can we expect from Jake Arrieta? When looking at the rotation right now, Aaron Nola, Jake Arrieta, is that going to be a formidable 1-2 punch, or is there too much of a drop-off there with Arrieta?
I really have no idea what to expect out of Arrieta.
Scary.
He had three really good months in 2018, and he had three bad months. And especially, those final 2 months when the Phillies were fading from contention, and there were so many guys who were struggling. Arrieta couldn't really keep the Phillies in too many games. It's hard to say. You know, I could see Nick Pivetta kind of moving ahead of him in terms of production this season. We'll see. Jake Arrieta, I would think, is going to benefit from Gene Segura playing shortstop every day, from just the Phillies' overall increase in defensive ability, not just in the infield but in the outfield as well. He is what he is in terms of missing bats at this point. He's not going to, like, wake up in spring training and start striking out 10 guys a game, you know, going into the season. That's just not who he is. And when you have when you rely as heavily on ground balls and contact as Arrieta does, there's a smaller margin for error. The movement on his pitches is still really good. It's just, you know, a matter of him being able to consistently get outs on the ground, and it's why it's so hard to predict. I kind of see him maybe like a 3.7 ERA this season, which is, it's good. It's good in this day and age, but it's not great. It's not really worth $20 to $25 million.
No, a little bit better than what he did last year, though, just a little bit.
Yeah, last year he really fizzled out down the stretch. I think he ended up at like 3.94 somewhere around there. But he did pitch. He pitched slightly better than that. It was a little deceiving just based on, I think he had a really bad start at Colorado toward the end of the season that skewed the numbers. But, you know, the point is he did not give the Phillies kind of what they expected last season. He kept them in games. He was better than, you know, a 24-year-old replacement-level pitcher would have been. He just wasn't the Jake Arrieta of old.
Corey, the Phillies have gotten better. And let's go on the assumption that they do land Manny Machado, who you think it would be the front runner of landing somebody. So let's say they do have them. We've also seen the Mets, the Nats, and the Braves also make a lot of moves this offseason and good moves. If the Phillies have Machado, where do they land among those, among those four teams?
I think they'll be neck and neck with the Nationals as an upper 80s win team, maybe pushing as high as 90, depending on what kind of midseason acquisitions the Phillies are able to make. The Braves, to me, do not look like a better team than they were last year when they won 90 games. They added Josh Donaldson, but there's a lot of question marks in that starting rotation. I think that their bullpen is, you know, behind the Mets, probably behind the Phillies as well. There are just areas of weakness on that team, and I could see them regressing in 2019. The Mets, I like what they did, but I don't look at them as a true contending team. Now, the caveat to that is, if you look at how Zach Wheeler pitched for the Mets down the stretch last season, he was basically Aaron Nola after the All-Star break, and it went under the radar because of how good Jacob DeGrom was.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Mets return a 1-2-3 of DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, and Zach Wheeler, which, I mean, is going to be among the best in all of baseball. If Wheeler continued to pitch as he did down the stretch, the Mets' ceiling is raised. It's going to be a tougher division. All of these teams are going to beat up on the Marlins. You know, the Phillies play the Marlins 19 times this season. I would think anything less than, like, 13-6 is a disappointment.
All right, Corey, two more for you. This is probably the most important question we'll ask you in this entire interview. The truck is leaving today. How many packs of Bazooka Joe bubblegum will there be on the truck to Clearwater, Florida?
Is this like an actual number and you're testing me? Or am
No, I don't even know. I'm just asking because I thought you might know, buddy. I got my Bazooka Joe t-shirt on today just for the occasion.
I don't know. I'll say 5,000.
I think you're dead on.
10,000 Powerade cups going down there, so I'm not sure.
Very good. And then I know you're a man for all season, so while I got you, what'd you make of Elton Brand's moves yesterday?
I loved them. I couldn't believe that the Sixers were able to get a first-round pick for Markelle Fultz. And, you know, my kind of instant reaction to the Fultz trade was, you know, that Sixers pick that they gave the Clippers in the Harris trade, they gave them two picks. To be able to recoup the Thunder pick, it kind of cancels out the Sixers pick. So it's almost like you gave up one fewer pick in the Tobias Harris trade if you look at it all in totality. I think Elton Brand's done a lot. I wonder if they overpaid for Tobias Harris just because he's, you know, they don't have any guarantee he's re-signing here, and it was only a couple months, and I wonder if another team was going to be able to beat an offer that included even one fewer pick. But, I mean, obviously his team is a lot better than it was last week. Still have some bench shooting concerns, but, man, this is going to be an exciting team. And to think about the idea of, like, a Sixers-Raptors or Sixers-Bucks Eastern Conference Finals, this city would go crazy.
Corey Seibin, NBC Sports Philadelphia.com, my team's app, also pre and post with Phillies coverage this season coming up with Phillies baseball. Appreciate you coming on with us, brother.
My pleasure, Mark.
All right, take it easy, Corey Seibin, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, yes. 2009.
Uh-oh, what are you doing?
15 cases of gum, sugar and sugarless went down.
Wait, 15, as in?
Well, the Phillies used to hand out a sheet of everything that went
down. Yeah, I have it right here from the 2009 year, after they won the World Series.
Oh, that's 10 years ago.
15 cases of sugar and sugarless gum.
I bet you had iPods on that thing. not anymore. Things change in a decade.
150 batting gloves. 10,000 12-ounce cups.
Wow. Trey, this is just for baseball players.
Well, all the gum, I mean.
He's got to have the gum.
Yeah, 600 hats. 1,200 bats.
How about seeds?
Good thing you bring that up. 12 cases of sunflower seeds.
How many little pencils to keep their scores in golf?
Yeah.
Trey, when you see that, when you
how many bottles
that?
Of coconut oil?
Wow, that's the new information.
How many barrels, I think, is the question.
That's what's needed.
You need all that.
Yeah, you need all of
that. Look, I'm a dork. I know that. I love baseball, and it's my first love. Baseball's my first love. When I see them loading up that truck, get a little giddy. Okay. I get a little giddy. I love it.
That's
absolutely
awesome.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, you need all of that, though.
And the hot dog launcher. Don't forget that.
Oh, the hot dog launcher. You got to have that.
It's the best, man.
Yeah.
You got to have that. You have the seeds and all that. The buckets of seeds. Uh-huh. The batting gloves, like you mentioned, Jamie. All that. Yeah, that's what you need brought
only
together.
Only 150 batting gloves? That's weird.
That is weird, isn't
that's
it?
That's not a lot.
And it isn't a lot because how many? You got,
well, I guess players have their own companies, so they're getting set their own stuff.
They have their own contracts.
That's just like the generic dugout gloves.
So let me throw back to this. Have we thought of anybody that's been off to a better start as a GM than
Howie 2.0 doesn't count?
I mean, that's 2.0.
I know.
That's not beginning of his career.
Nobody comes to mind.
Yeah, Jamie.
No. We're just talking about like the first 4 or 5 months as a general manager of the 76ers, Elton Brand has brought in a 4-time All-Star in Jimmy Butler, right? He's brought in Tobias Harris. Now, look, yeah, obviously we have to see what kind of fruit this all bears and all that. Mm-hmm. But still, the moves he's made, and he's alleviated us from the Markel Fultz problem. And whether or not you're a blind optimist thinking that Markel Fultz, oh, what if it works out? Yeah, okay, there's a lot of what ifs there. But what if it all works out with Markel Fultz? All right, fine. It wasn't going to happen here in Philadelphia. No. He had pretty much, and his camp, made that decision. And then retract. Oh, no. We wouldn't mind staying in Philadelphia. Oh, maybe we need to change the scenery. Oh, we never said that. No, that is absolutely something that got talked about. And all you really need to know is, remember when Elton Brand, the day after everything hit the fan, and they said they're going to shut down Markel Fultz, just coincidentally after he only played 7 minutes and T.J. McConnell got his second half minutes? Mm-hmm. Remember all that? Mm-hmm. Well, when all that went down, there was a conversation shortly thereafter where Raymond Brothers, the lawyer and agent for Markel Fultz, called Elton Brand and said, my guy's not going to be available.
Yeah.
Remember Elton's reaction to that?
He kind of, I would call it a smirk.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
It was kind of like a... Whatever, dude.
Yeah,
whatever. You just let me know when our guy's ready.
Yeah.
That was kind of like he had no control in that situation. Yeah. As the GM of the basketball team, no control over that situation. So they went around, they went to the visiting doctors, and the one doctor finally said, thoracic outlet syndrome. Aha! And they went, thank you very much. Can you put that in writing? We'll give it to the Sixers. We're going to be out for a while.
After the one doctor was like, I can't see you this weekend because, you know.
That's right.
I got some things that are going on.
Yeah. It was like on a Wednesday.
So let's schedule this next week.
And he said, I'll see you on Monday.
Yeah. Well, that's when Elton smirked. He was, I don't know why he couldn't get an appointment now, but he's not getting one till Monday.
The Sixers doctors didn't know what the hell to make of it. He goes to find his own. And look, every player should have that right. There's no question about that. But you also can have somebody that will just agree with you. Find me something, right? And that could have happened here. And if he plays in the next week down there in Atlanta or in Orlando, I mean, he already's got one fan in the front row with his jersey on as an Orlando Magic player, then by all means, you know, have at it. Yeah. I hope the guy goes on to score 20 points a game. Yeah,
and then next
career.
We can drop hit for 30. Yeah.
I just don't get it. I like the people that are bitter over it.
Yeah.
Like I never wished ill will upon the guy.
No, not at all.
But he became for that month, the Eagles weren't doing great. The Sixers were in full swing. He was a starter for that month. Markel Fultz was a lightning rod in Philadelphia. That name was a lightning rod in Philadelphia. It became like the Fultz versus Wentz conversation, where it just went from, oh, yeah, this is a fun debate, to everybody's an idiot. I'm tired of this conversation.
Yeah.
And now it's done.
Yeah.
Now we move on. Now we enjoy a first-round pick, which, by the way, Jeremy Grant, this pick comes back to the Sixers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremy Grant goes to OKC.
The process is a circle.
If only we got Drew Holiday. If only that would have happened. Right.
Or if a lot of people would like him.
Hey, now we could get Nick Stauskas. He's available. Get excited. Do you want Nick Stauskas? 610. So you look at all that. Now you have the opportunity here to now get somebody back, like we talked with Corey a second ago there. He even mentioned it. You have an opportunity here to get that first round pick back. You got it back from OKC. You got a second round pick involved in it as well. It was one of the more amazing trades of yesterday's deadline, the fact that Elton Brand was able to be move on from Markel Fultz. I didn't think they were going to be able to move him. We talked about predictions yesterday, Bob. Did you think he was going to get moved?
I did. I did think he was going to get moved.
Towards the end of the show, I remember reading a tweet from Kurt Heelan saying, My gut tells me he'll have a new address. Markel Fultz will have a new address.
Yeah, when we talked about, I guess it might have been Mannix last week where he said, yeah, there's a few that might be intrigued, or however, I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. That's all it took. You know, it's all it takes. You know, the guy does have number one overall talent. It's hidden right now. But, you know, there's enough teams out there like Orlando, and we know of a lot of other teams that why not? Why not take a shot? So, yeah, it didn't shock me that he went, but when you saw it, you were like, oh, there it is.
I saw a first-round pick attached to it.
That's when I went, oh!
Exactly. It's a first-rounder in 2021, I believe. And then they also got
protected,
a pick.
Like top 20 protected.
Top 20, and it's the Thunder, so it's going to be a later pick anyway. And then you have a 2021 pick swap. I love the pick swap idea with the Rockets. So you got something back. You got a couple of assets back when you already took some away when you got Tobias Harris.
And when we pulled up this morning, the old Chevy was sitting right out there in the parking lot.
Yep, right next to Jamie's car.
As you're welcome.
Who photoshopped Elton Brand in the driver's seat?
Chris Rossini, a listener of the show.
I hope I retweeted that.
Yes, and just said, trust the Chevy.
Trust the Chevy.
Let's get Vern in Germantown. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Vern?
Hey, what's going on? Hey. I just wanted to defend my boy Markel real fast.
Oh, okay. All right, hold on. Vern, you're a Markel supporter.
I stand on top of Mount Markel with a flag with a number 26 or something.
All right, bold. Vern, the floor is yours.
I just want to ask a quick question, right?
All right.
And I hear everyone jumping off of the mountain for Elton Brand this morning. After all these trades and moves, do the Sixers win a championship this year?
No.
No.
No. So I don't understand what's the hype to move this guy out of the city because of what? The pressure of what fans and media to move this guy out of the city. It just sounds eerily similar to the D'Angelo Russell thing when you got a young kid who lacks maturity, who has talent, who does something that looks bad in the media, or as you said, his name was a lightning bolt. And to me, you try to justify that to move a guy that when we traded for him on with the Celtics that day, this whole city lost his mind.
Let me ask you a question, Vern.
There is a real reason too.
Well, in all honesty, though, Vern, you're looking at D'Angelo Russell. Vern, hold on, brother. You're looking at D'Angelo Russell and comparing that to Markel Fultz. The big difference is that D'Angelo Russell played, and when he played, he actually could score. And Markel Fultz played 13 games in 2 years.
NBA history, he scored a triple double, and then he sat down the entire.
That playoff. One game was really great.
Brett Brown does not play this kid.
Brett Brown started the kid
in the playoffs. What happened to the playoffs?
Did he deserve to be out there, Vern?
I mean, do you really think he deserved to be out there?
What did we accomplish? What happened in the Celtics? What happened in the Celtics?
What did he do to earn it?
That was a man series.
Oh my!
But he
God.
Returned. I'm not trying to hear that. We got outmanned the entire series. It was nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. Outmanned. He was a little boy. He's a little boy out there. The Celtics would have eaten him alive.
Vern, look at it this way. Maybe the Sixers did him a favor. Maybe the kid knew he couldn't do it here, and maybe the Sixers did him a favor.
They did Jahlil Okafor a favor, Jeremy Grant a favor, Nerlens Noel a favor.
Well, that's a different regime. I don't want to even go into that, Vern. That's a different regime. Look,
the time is now.
I don't understand the people that still want to go with the argument the Sixers didn't give him a chance.
They gave him every chance under the sun.
They started him this year.
And Vern asks why now? Like, it's not media hype. It's not media pressure. It's none of that. You need his cap money next year if you want to keep all four of these guys. End of story.
And you need a player that's going to be on the floor. Sorry. You know, this kid can't get on the floor for whatever reason. He just can't get on the floor. And, you know, as many people that want to argue, oh, you gave up on him too quick. Well, look into it a little deeper. Maybe they did him a favor. Maybe he didn't want to be here
exactly.
anymore.
He wanted out.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, they tried to work with him. I mean, even when, because you could just tell when everything unfolded, when he got ready to go into the game, and then wait a minute, we need you to come back and sit down. And then TJ went in. Then that's where everything went back. Then you send him out here, you wait for all the doctor's appointments, you send him out to California to do the rehab. Now, if he would have came back from California on fire, ready to go to try to help this team, he did not. Instead, he came back and was just still just happy sitting on the bench, hanging out with the guys. Well, you know, a team has to make moves, you know, and I think that going down to Orlando will be a good fit for him because it's a smaller market, and I think this is a fresh start for him that could possibly help him.
Absolutely. No, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. 610-632-0975. Coming up, talk more about the 76ers and their trades, as well as the Eastern Conference as a whole. Making some moves, especially some of the top teams other than the 76ers. Time at the Fanatic, 924.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Wait, we actually called it the post-show showcase? That's what we named our Twitch show?
Post-show showcast.
The post-show showcast.
Post-show showcast.
I was kidding when I said that.
Well, now it's official. It's in a promo.
Official, there it is.
And we're filming today after the show.
I know.
Monday, yes. Wednesday, Friday. I'll tweet out the link every day. We do a little 10-minute post-show showcast.
Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday.
The kids are all on Twitch these days, so we figured, why fight it?
Embrace it.
Yes.
Exactly. Just keep this bed playing, baby. You like that, Trey?
Oh, yeah.
Trey's perturbed right now. I don't know if I have him right now. I don't know if I have his
smoker. Do you listen to music when you paint?
Yes. Yes, I do.
What the hell is that?
Just curious. This sounds like good painting music.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I listen to a little relaxed, you know, vibe, man. It's a cool vibe.
This is exactly what Trey needs right now, because at the break he was like, you know what? I can't get a blue check on Twitter, man.
I can't.
Well, yeah, we got to work on that as a company.
Oh, no. Trey, go ahead. What's the deal?
They just said that they're not accepting any requests right now. That program is on hold, according to Twitter.
That was like a year ago. It was on hold, too, and I guess it's still...
Are they having an issue?
I don't know.
Well, a lot of it was the bot, Russian bot, in... thing from like a year and a half ago.
Russians, man.
Yeah. So they said that, yeah, no, you can't get a blue check. You don't have a blue check either.
No, I don't, but I don't deserve one.
Nor do I.
You do.
I don't have one either.
You know who has one? Who got one recently? Freddie Mitchell.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, you know what I think did it for him? I think Dancing with Timberlake at the halftime show last year. Yeah. Super Bowl. I think that verified it for people, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Let's get to Shannon in Atlanta. What's up, Shannon?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, real quick, living down here in Atlanta, I don't get to all the Hawks games, but I wanted to see Toronto. Bob, you know, you've been around basketball in Philadelphia for a lot of years.
Yes.
Things must have been really bad when Colangelo was here. After watching that kid last night, Pascal Siakam, I can't believe how this guy drafted, we're talking about Fultz is one thing, but TLC and Korkmaz and this kid, Pascal Siakam, he's from Cameroon. I swear, he's the closest I've seen.
Oh, the kid, I didn't know he was Siakam, the kid from Toronto, you
Siakam,
mean?
Yes.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, Joel Embiid clearly hates the Sixers for not tipping them off about this kid.
I mean, the kid was, I think, well, yeah, New Mexico State or something like that. How bad were things? I mean, this kid, how do you blow four, basically, first-round draft picks in one draft. So bad. Bob, I mean, the guy's gone. How bad was the disconnect between Brett Brown and Colangelo, or maybe Brian Colangelo and the whole organization? I mean, I'm sorry, will this guy ever work again in the NBA? I mean, give us something, Bob.
That was one of the underlying stories when Colangelo was here. Like, how did he and Brett get along? And I talked to some people that there was questions about that. Did they see eye to eye? Did Colangelo just take a, you know, it's my call, you don't have any input attitude? Brett always said the right thing, but the underlying story that I got was that, you know, Brian wanted to make sure that he was always the smartest guy in the room and he was always the guy making the calls in the room.
Yeah, because you see a very distinct transaction between the style players that Colangelo had, which seemed to be these EuroLeague guys that he was familiar with and liked a lot, compared to the guys that are in here now. You know, you've got the role players, the guys that are two ways that can switch, that focus more on defense. So, I just seeing Toronto last night, and maybe the best ran organization in the NBA. It's so important to have good leadership at the top. And, I mean, their GM is probably the best in the league right now. And hopefully Elton can follow in that guy's footsteps.
Well, he's certainly off to the greatest start in the history of Philadelphia sports for any gentleman.
Yeah, and Shannon makes a great point, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. This is where your staff, Elton's staff, the scouting staff, really has to be good, because you have your four stars. You know, now you have to fill. You don't have a ton of money. You're going to have to fill some spots, and you're going to have to fill them with fringe guys that play out, like the Siakams, like, you know, guys that you get later in a draft or in a trade that didn't work elsewhere but somehow find their way to working out here. This is a really key time of scouting now for the 76ers moving forward.
Yeah. As I said before the break, take a look at some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference that bulked up a little bit. Mirotić ends up going to the Bucks, so they get a good player right there. And then you look at another big man. You have Marc Gasol going to the Raptors.
Yeah.
And Marc Gasol's numbers against Joel Embiid. Well, Joel Embiid's numbers against Marc Gasol, I should say, are not that impressive. 14 points per game against Memphis over his career.
Yeah, I just remember when I covered the Sixers, every time they played Memphis, it was like they were mired in mud. You know, Memphis plays that real good defense, and they, you know, they doubled down on Joe, and he didn't have the best. Now, does that change with Gasol and their defensive style up in Toronto? We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Coming up a little bit later in this segment, we'll have our sexy weather reports, Mr. Trey Thomas.
I'm looking forward to hearing
see
it.
If they get a blue check or a blue chew. Oh, thank you. Let's get to it was weird. Sorry. Chris in Burlington, you're on 975 The Fanatic. Yo, buddy.
Hello.
Yo, Chris, what's on your mind today? You got something on Markel?
Yeah, sorry to bother. Yeah,
no, I got sorry to bother. This is what we do.
Yeah, you're not bothering us. You're helping us.
Not really. So long story short is back in November, one of my buddies works inside the Sixers organization, and he says, hey, look, he's never going to put that uniform on again. It's already pretty much a done deal. He said he doesn't want to be here personally. It's not a good fit for him. And not to say, hey, you're making excuses for injuries, what have you, but it was pretty well known that he wasn't going to put that uniform back on again. And it's probably in the best interest for him and for the organization just to move on. So that's the sentiment and the feeling that I got from what I was gathering from him.
Yeah, I think we all got that same vibe, Chris, and I think the rest of the NBA got that same vibe. That's why there was two suitors. The Sixers jumped on one that was willing to give a first-round pick and a second-round pick, and it got to come off the bench for you. Pretty nice trade.
He's never going to live up to the number one hype that people were expecting. You know, sometimes just, you know, poor moves get made, and through nobody's fault, but it is what it is. And wish the kid well, and hey, you know what, you got to move on.
No, I'm with you there, Chris. Thanks for the call, buddy. All right, now, this is our sexy weather report. What do you always look for with this, Trey?
Something sexy.
There you go. There it is, from Delilah's. Sexy weather report.
Good morning, boys. Here's your weekend weather report. We are going to go for a ride today. Rise it up, nice and high. The sun, that is. With temps exploding up to 55 degrees. Then be ready to snuggle up tight, Trey, and prepare for the blow of wind as temperatures plummet to 22 degrees overnight. And keep those blankets handy, Mark, because we aren't getting up all weekend with highs in the low to mid-30s. Now back to my boy toys, Mark and Trey.
Yes! You got what you wished for, Trey Thomas.
There we go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I don't know who that was, but she has a blue check.
Yeah, she has a blue check. I'm sitting up here trying to...
There was another one, too.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we have another one.
Yeah. Two.
Is this one sexier?
2-4.
Oh, no.
I'll let you determine.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Trey. This is Jerry the Ad Man from Twitter. You like this song? Hot Chocolate, You Sick the Thing? 1975. Well, I'm going to take you back to a more recent time, which was 2003. Week 14 versus Dallas Cowboys, you looked absolutely gorgeous when Karell Buckhalter ran for 64 yards and made it 36-10. And that was the moment I just fell in love with you. This ain't a weather report, but today, when I think of Trey Thomas, I think sun and heat and the good times.
What the hell?
All right.
What was that last part?
The good times.
Good times.
No, I did a little bit before that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was good times.
Was that Sal Chunas just doing an update? That's what it sounded like. It sounded like with Sal Chunas when he would have been, I don't know, maybe 7 years old.
I was Jerry the Az Man on Twitter.
Good hustle, Jerry. They passed the test there, Trey?
Yeah.
Some tells me Trey liked the first one better.
Yeah, the first one was up. The Ass Man, I don't know.
Well,
yeah, but I mean, you know.
So that happens.
Hey, man, when he thinks of me, you know, he thinks of good time when, you know, Correll Baukalter had a good big score, big touchdown.
He's giving you credit.
Yeah, see that? Jamie, what's the new number for people to call for a sexy weather report?
That is 610-771-9759. And, of course, that's brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse.
Absolutely.
Always on top.
How would you like to be part of Farzad and Trey's morning show just like that? Now you can. Sexy weather report. You can deliver that just like those fine people did. Maybe just a little bit better with the sexiest and hottest delivery you can give us there. Brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top. Call 610-771-9759. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Jay. We'll talk to Markelle Fultz. And perhaps we'll hear again from our boy, Tobias Harris. And it seems like we're going to be in Toby and Bobby. So that'll be a fun thing.
Yeah, also.
Time of the FedAct 941.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Jay's been holding. We'll get him real quick. Jay, what do you got on Markelle Fultz, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? I was hoping to have a conversation without you yelling about it as soon as I say something. But I think it was a case that he was the right pick, but the wrong pick for us. Because I believe he's a point guard. I think he's going to excel down there. Like I said, I think him and his team just shut it down because of the past experiences that the Sixers did.
That
like
was my only...
God, all that.
Yeah, that was my only reservation about Markelle Fultz was that he wasn't a shooting guard. But he scored so much at Washington that you thought he could play next to Ben Simmons. And it never got... to the point where they were really allowed to let it grow because of the injury or because of whatever with Markelle Fultz. Because of what?
Because of family ties.
I guess that's what it comes down to, yeah. Do you think Brett will make it work, though, now with all these guys?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
come on, you got to believe in Brett!
Look, I don't think he's a good coach. He got out-coached last year in that Boston series.
By one of the best coaches. Yeah, and it was one of the best coaches in the NBA.
And he was out, man.
Oh, man, but he had Dario. Well, Tatum had three fouls on him, and he refused to go through Dario. He don't run no plays. He said it himself. Yeah, I got to call more plays than I ever did. All he got is a dribble handoff. Y'all tell him, was he ever a coach in San Antonio?
Yeah, he was an assistant coach in San Antonio, and he was also director of player development, I believe was the title for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes, it was.
But even as an assistant, he still helped to develop players. That was his main focus. Let's just hear from Tobias Harris real quick, talking about making it work with guys like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
I think the biggest thing is not really worrying about who gets this and that, where shots come from. Just have fun out there. You know, when you play the best basketball and play together, everything will take care of itself. And biggest thing for us is winning and going forward. So nothing else should really interfere into that.
He did confirm with us this morning when we spoke to him that he's going to be in the lineup tonight for the Sixers. So look forward to seeing his debut tonight. Let's put a ball on our Twitter poll. Sam Wilson, what's it look like?
Today we asked, who impressed you most yesterday? We had just under 2,700 votes today, and 71% said Elton Brand.
Elton Brand is people loving him today. Let's get into our takeaways of the day right now. And, of course, our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. We have a young man named Luke in here who is a freshman at UDel, University of Delaware. And we always talk to you, we talk to people about our takeaways of the day. So you came in to visit us today. What's your takeaway from the hour you spent with us?
I feel like with Markelle Fultz, my takeaway is that it's not going to ever work in Philadelphia with him. But I feel like just because it's Philadelphia, he's going to wind up becoming like a five-time All-Star MVP in 5 years.
Go out on a high note. Thank you, Luke. You know, this music is really suiting when you talk about Markelle Fultz. Well, thank you for coming in, Luke, and good luck at UDel, getting back in the swing of things. Appreciate it. Sam Wilson, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway is that we all need pronunciation classes when it comes to like the Spanish, I guess it is. Is that
JT Real Muto?
Yeah, Real Muto.
I believe it's Spanish, yes.
Real. That's what
Real, yeah.
It gets us. So we all need to practice this, okay?
Yeah, I can't roll my R's.
None of us can say besides Andrew.
Jamie, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway for the day is I can't believe how excited I am to go home, sit on my couch, crack a couple double IPAs tonight, and watch the 76ers. Because it's a new season starting tonight.
Drinking beers?
Drinking a couple beers.
Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
Besides Jamie being an idiot, is that thank you, Matt Klentak and Elton Brand, for making our jobs a whole lot easier when it could have been tougher after an Eagles loss.
Trey Thomas.
I'm upset because I can't figure out how to get a blue check TGIF amount. Yeah!
Mic drop. My takeaway of the day is how I opened the show. Elton Brand is off to the greatest start by a GM in Philadelphia sports history. Talk to you guys on Monday. Love you. Enjoy the game tonight. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 10 o'clock straight up is going to be the Elton Brand press conference, so don't miss that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.